issued the red snake, and that was actually by the will of the Lord.
By the Lord. Otherwise, a great personality, a great Rajarshi, a king like Parikshit could not have done such a mistake. He is a protector of cows and Brahminical culture. He is a great Rajarshi. He is a descendant of the glorious Pandavas. Still, he did this kind of act that was only because of the will of the Lord. There is no other reason. So Prabhupada explains this several times in the purport. And when he did this act and that event was communicated to the son of the Rishi, Sringi, he immediately cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days. Then he came back and started crying, and his father noticed it. He threw the dead snake away, and then he asked the child, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Whatever has happened." And father immediately regretted for the foolish act done by the child. So how can you curse the king to die in 7 days? And he glorified a monarch, the need for a devotee king like that. And he explained the glories of devotees. So now, coming back to the palace, Parikshit Maharaj was regretting. That's how 19th chapter will begin. So, Suta Goswami is continuing. Shri Suta Uvacha Mahipatistvatha Tatkarma Garhyam Vichintayan Atmakritam Sudurmanaha Ahomayani Chamanaryavatkritam Niragasi Brahmani Gudha Tejasi.
While returning home, the king, Maharaj Parikshit, felt that the act he had committed against the godless and powerful Brahmana was heinous and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed.
So, Mahipati Svatha Tat Karma Garhyam. So, Mahipati means the protector of earth, the lord of land, king. So, Mahipati Stu Atha Tat Karma Garhyam. Garhyam means a mistake. An activity that is supposed to be condemned. So Parikshit Maharaj, after coming back to his palace, he was regretting that how could I commit such an act? How could I insult a Brahmana like this by garlanding him with a dead snake? So he felt his act was very heinous, garhyam. Vichintayan atmakritam sudurmanaha. Sudurmanaha means he considered himself bad charactered person. Sudurmanaha, right? My consciousness was not good. How could I commit such an offense? Aho maya nicham anaryavat kritam. Anarya means an uncivilized activity. To insult a Brahmana like that is considered uncivilized. He was considering himself uncivilized. So Brahmana was faultless and very powerful. So because of committing such an act, he is distressed. When someone does a mistake, by chance, by accident, when someone accidentally commits a mistake, if he is a gentle person, he regrets for that mistake. He does not justify that mistake. So Parikshit Maharaj is not justifying that mistake. He was not thinking that, yes, I did the right, I gave the right treatment to that sage. Because he did not receive me properly, although I am a great king, so he deserves this punishment. He never thought like that. He considered his activity as heinous. So his accidental improper treatment of faultless Shamik Rishi is very honestly and sincerely regretted by Parikshit Maharaj. So Prabhupada writes that a devotee is naturally very faultless. So accidentally committed sins by a devotee, when they are sincerely regretted, they are burnt in that fire of repentance. So accidentally committed mistakes, that sinful activities are burnt in the fire of repentance. Not purposefully, willfully committed mistakes in a premeditated way. But if someone accidentally commits some mistake and if he sincerely repents for it and doesn't unnecessarily justify it, then that repentance itself is the reaction for him. So he need not undergo certain reaction. So they are burnt in the fire of repentance, Prabhupada says. See the glorious consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj. He is expecting a calamity. So when someone does some mistake, which is not supposed to be done, definitely he has to expect some negative result. I did this mistake, definitely I will get this reaction. That expectation is at one level. But Parikshit Maharaj not only expected a calamity, he desired a calamity. I want that punishment. I did this mistake, I will get this punishment. That is an expectation. But I want that punishment. I ask for that punishment. So he is one step ahead. So that is mentioned in the second verse. Dhruvam tato me krita deva helanad.
Dhruvam tato me krita deva helanad.
Duratyayam vyasanam nati dirghat.
Duratyayam vyasanam nati dirghat.
Tadastu kamam hyagha nishkritaya me.
Tadastu kamam hyagha nishkritaya me.
Yathana kuryam punareva madha.
Yathana kuryam punareva madha.
Parikshit thought, due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome me in the near future. I now desire without reservation that the calamity come now, for in this way I may be freed of the sinful action and not commit such an offense again.
So this is the attitude of a responsible person. Dhruvam tato me krita deva helanat. So I have done Deva Helanath. I have violated the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. According to the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, a king has to protect Brahminical culture. He has to give all respect to the Brahmanas. But because I insulted a Brahmana, I have violated the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. Dhruvam, it's confirmed, right? Definitely there is no doubt that I have not committed a mistake. I have committed a mistake. He is accepting that. Dhruvam tato me krita Deva Helanath. Duratyayam vyasanam na ati dirghat. Na ati dirghat. So in very near future and very soon, I should definitely experience the reaction for this mistake. Right? I am expecting some calamity. I am expecting some difficulty that will overcome me very soon. So he says, tadastu kamam hi aghanishkritayame. Tadastu kamam. I am desiring that calamity. I am expecting that calamity. It's natural. But I am desiring that calamity also. I want that punishment. I want to face that difficulty. Why? Because aghanishkritayami. Unless I experience the reaction for my mistake, I will not give up my tendency to commit that mistake. Right? So he is wanting that reaction. He doesn't want to escape that reaction. So, I want that reaction so that I will not commit mistakes again. So, yathana kuryam punareva madha. We have another example in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Indra committed a mistake. Indra had sent heavy rainfall in Vrindavan and Krishna lifted Govardhan and protected all the Vrajavasis. So, after this whole Govardhan Dharan episode, Indra comes along with Surabhi in front of Krishna and begs forgiveness from Krishna. And he says, my dear Lord, I have committed this mistake. So, I am fearing the punishment. So, Indra was, Acharyas give elaborate explanation on Indra's prayers. So, Indra was fearing that Krishna might call Yamaraj to punish Indra. Oh, Krishna may call Yamaraj now. Till now he didn't take an action. Maybe he is going to take an action. So then Indra would say, please forgive me. Like that, he says, he just wanted to avoid that punishment. And he condemns himself like an animal or something like that. So, although he was speaking in a very apologetic tone in that prayer, Acharyas revealed that his words and his prayers were not very genuine. Definitely there is some genuinity. But it is not completely genuine because although he is regretting for violating the principle of being obedient to the Lord in this context, he again attacked Krishna in Parijata episode. That is a proof that his prayers here are not very sincere. So Acharyas explain like that. So here Indra wanted to avoid a punishment. Indra was fearful of that punishment, although he was regretting that mistake. But Parikshit was totally different. Parikshit was regretting for that mistake. It's a very honest and genuine regret. And also he is expecting a punishment and also desiring that punishment. I want that punishment. If you don't give me that punishment, my Lord, I will commit that mistakes again. And Prabhupada further adds, a responsible devotee wants to suffer for his mistakes personally. He wants to personally suffer for that mistake so that his descendants would not suffer. Because whenever a devotee in a family performs devotional service, entire family gets benefited. Similarly, whenever someone commits a mistake in that family, entire family may get affected. So Parikshit Maharaj, being a responsible devotee, he is thinking that if I don't receive the reaction for this mistake, I may commit the similar mistake in future, or the reaction of that mistake may befall upon my family. How can I cause disturbance or some difficulty to my family members or other people who are connected with me? I have to personally experience that mistake. He was not delegating the reaction. For example, again, Indra in the 6th canto, he beheaded Vishwarup. Vishwarup, you know, Vishwarup, he performs some sacrifice, he offers oblations in the sacrificial fire, and he gave the hymn of Narayana Kavacha to Indra. When Indra lost all his opulence because of disrespecting his spiritual master Brihaspati, Brahma suggests that you should go and take shelter of Vishwarup. You accept him as your guru, he will help you regain your opulence. So similarly, accordingly, Indra and other demigods went to Vishwarupa, and Vishwarupa gave Indra Narayana Kavacha and also helped him regain his opulence. So this Vishwarupa is connected to the demons from his mother's side, and he is also connected to the demigods or brahmanas through his father's side. He is the son of Tvashta. So he was also offering oblations to demons. So Indra became very insecure. How can he offer oblations to the demons? They will become powerful. He immediately beheaded. And when he beheaded this guru who helped him regain his opulence, the sinful reaction came upon him. Later, Indra divided that sinful reaction amongst four categories of people: earth, women, and trees, and land. Right. So further details you can see in the 6th canto. But he wanted to distribute his sinful reaction to someone else. He suffered a little bit, but he also wanted to delegate that. So this is a difficult task, so let me delegate it to someone. This is an easier task, let me do it. So that is the tendency of a person, generally. But a responsible person, he wants to accept it. Especially when this difficulty is coming as a result of my misdeed, my mistake brought about this difficulty, I should only experience the reaction. I should not make others suffer for my difficulty. That is the responsible nature of a devotee. So Parikshit Maharaj is the best example for it. So third verse. Adyaiva rajyam balamruddham kosham prakopita brahma kulana lome dahatva dhadrasya punar name bhut पापीय सिद्धेर द्विजदेव गोभ्यः
पापीय सिद्धेर द्विजदेव गोभ्यः
so that in the future I may not be guided by such
good. In future I should not be guided by any inauspicious attitudes. Inauspicious attitude. Behind an inauspicious activity, there is inauspicious attitude. Inauspicious attitude will drive one to commit some inauspicious activity. So, he wanted to condemn that, he wanted to curtail that inauspicious attitude, so he wants that punishment. He says, I am uncivilized, I am sinful, because of neglecting three things. One, Brahminical culture, two, God consciousness, and three, co-production. So, co-production, Brahminical culture, and God consciousness. These three are supposed to be, you know, upheld by a king, a Rajarshi. But he failed to do so. He was thinking like that. So, Prabhupada says, all economic development of the state by trade, commerce, agriculture, industries, etc., etc., must be fully utilized in relation to these three things. Co-production, then Brahminical culture, and God consciousness. Otherwise, it's a source of degradation. Why co-production is important? Because through co-production, one gets paraphernalia for sacrifice, so that Brahmanas can perform their sacrifices and their Brahminical culture can be sustained. So, Brahminical culture is also dependent on co-production. So, overall, these two things, protecting cows and protecting Brahminical culture, will lead one eventually to God consciousness also. So, like that, all three are very important. A responsible king is supposed to maintain these things. So, now that Parikshit Maharaj insulted a Brahmana like this, he felt that I violated this Brahminical culture. So, I deserve some punishment. So, where wealth and strength are not engaged in advancement of these three things, the state and home are surely doomed by providence. So, if we want peace and prosperity in the world, we should take lessons from this verse. Every state and every home must endeavor to advance the cause of Brahminical culture, God consciousness, and co-production. Brahminical culture for self-purification, God consciousness for self-realization, co-production for getting sufficient milk and other co-products for human civilization. Either to perform sacrifices or physically also nourish oneself. Right? So these three are important. So the Supreme Lord also is trying to give a message through this incident that if a king insults a Brahmana, he is supposed to be punished. Right? He has to receive some reaction. From a higher level, from a deeper level, we also understand that this entire incident is orchestrated by Krishna himself, so that Bhagavatam can descend. After Krishna's departure from this world, Bhagavatam descends to show that light towards the misdirected civilization of Kali Yuga. So, Krishna wanted Bhagavatam to appear, so he kept Parikshit Maharaj in an awkward situation. Krishna wanted Bhagavad Gita to appear, so he kept Arjuna in a bewildered state. So, that is one reason. Another way of looking at this same pastime is, Parikshit Maharaj is playing the role of a king, and when a king offends a Brahmana, he is supposed to get reaction. So, Krishna wanted to give that lesson also. And also, Krishna wanted to highlight the qualities of pure devotees. So, Parikshit Maharaj had absolutely no complaint that, Krishna, you have protected me when I was in my womb. Now, why can't you protect me when I was about to die? How can I die because of the curse of a small child? Right? I will die, but not in this way. It's like too insulting. The emperor of the world is cursed to die in 7 days just for an insignificant mistake he has committed. And who gave that punishment? A small child. So that is like too much. Too much insult. What will the future think about me? So Parikshit Maharaj did not complain. So, Parikshit Maharaj had the humility to just accept Krishna's will as it is. If it is Krishna's will that I have to be protected when I was a helpless embryo within my mother's womb, I will accept it. I accepted that earlier. So, if it is Krishna's will that I am so powerful emperor of the world, I have to be killed in such an insignificant way, in such a, you know, humiliating way, that is also Krishna's will. Let me accept it. Right? So, earlier, getting protected in such a circumstance is not a small thing. Brahmastra is the most powerful weapon in the world, in the creation, and that Brahmastra is applied to a small embryo who is not even a child. He did not even come out of the womb also. When the child is within the womb, Brahmastra, the most powerful weapon, is coming to attack. In that circumstance, Krishna saved him. And now he has become most powerful emperor of this world, Parikshit Maharaj, and he is, you know, attacked by a small child, not Brahmastra. If I am attacked by Brahmastra, that would be a very glorious death for me. He did not bargain like that. I am attacked by a small child, it's okay. I will take it. Both are Krishna's will, so he could see that. So, to announce the devotee's maturity and attitude in accepting Krishna's will as it is coming in his life, Krishna orchestrated this incident. So, like that, this incident can be seen from different angles, and different lessons will come, which are relevant in different contexts. And the fourth verse, Sutta Goswami is saying, Sachintayan ittham atha shrunodyatha नलं प्रसक्तस्य विरक्ति कारणम्.
When the king was thus repenting, he received news of his imminent death, which would be due to the bite of a snake bird occasioned by the curse spoken by the sage's son. The king accepted this as a good news, for it would be the cause of his indifference towards the worldly things.
So Parikshit Maharaj had the glorious attitude of seeing this curse as a blessing in disguise. Seeing this curse as a cause of his indifference towards worldly things. He had that maturity. Sachintayan itham atha shrunodyatha munehe sutokto nirutistakshakakhyaha. So munehe sutokto. Actually, our Shemika Rishi, last chapter we have discussed the whole incident. Shemika Rishi regretted for this whole event, that his son cursed Parikshit Maharaj. So he had sent one of his disciples named Gauramukha. So that Gauramukha came to Parikshit Maharaj and informed him, "My dear Parikshit, this is what has happened. Because you garlanded like this, his son got angry and then he cursed you to die in 7 days. So after 7 days, a snake bird named Takshaka will come and bite you. And because of that bite, you will die. So, you can make your necessary preparations. Whatever you need to take care, please take care." And he leaves. So, Parikshit Maharaj receives this news. As soon as he received this news, he felt jubilation. Because just the previous verses, two verses say that Parikshit Maharaj was expecting a calamity, it came. Parikshit Maharaj was desiring a calamity, it has come. So Parikshit Maharaj welcomed that calamity. He invited that calamity. "Thank you, my Lord. You have arranged it like this." And he could immediately see a positivity in the whole incident. "So far I was so absorbed in my kingly responsibilities, right, Kshatriya duties. Now this curse is coming in my life as a blessing, and it would become a cause for my indifference towards this worldly political affairs. Right, I will not lose this opportunity to receive this curse. Let me accept this curse." So he was very happy. So when the messenger departed, king wanted to beg forgiveness. Another point. In the first verse, Parikshit Maharaj was regretting. How can I insult a Brahmana like this? So Parikshit Maharaj was repenting. He was regretting his mistake. So the next step would be to go and beg forgiveness from Shemikrishi. Right, that makes all sense. But Parikshit Maharaj did not go and beg forgiveness from Shemikrishi, because Shemikrishi had sent this message through Gauramukha, and the message of curse was communicated to Parikshit Maharaj with great regret. The way Parikshit was regretting for insulting Shemikrishi, Shemikrishi was so much regretful that Parikshit Maharaj was cursed like this by his own son. So he was already regretful. He was feeling very shameful, Samikrishi. Parikshit Maharaj was thinking, if I go and beg forgiveness from him, if I go and say sorry, he would be more embarrassed. He would be even more humiliated. He would be feeling more shameful and regretful. I don't want to increase his embarrassment. He is already regretting that I am cursed. So I will not unnecessarily go to him and then beg forgiveness. So Parikshit Maharaj was not overwhelmed by a feeling of injustice or inappropriate treatment that was done to him. How can these brahmanas be so cruel? How can they curse a king for an insignificant mistake? How can they curse me to die in 7 days? He was not at all feeling any injustice there. He welcomed the curse and he is giving respect to the feelings of Shamikrishi. Oh, he should not feel embarrassed. Already he is embarrassed. I am feeling bad because he is embarrassed. If I go and say sorry, he will be even more embarrassed. So, generally in the conditioned state, the human being has a very strong need, strong urge to express himself, express his emotions. When he is so overwhelmed with the desire to express his emotions, he cannot give so much importance to others' emotions. But see this Vaishnava Sabhyata, this Vaishnava, great Vaishnava, Parikshit Maharaj, even when he was mistreated so badly, he was giving more importance to the feelings of that person, Shamikrishi, than his own feelings. Right? So, he should not feel embarrassed. Where is the comparison between death and embarrassment? Right? On his side, he was receiving death in a week. And on the side of Shamikrishi, he was only feeling embarrassed. And he would feel more embarrassed if he goes and says sorry. No, he should not feel that much embarrassment also because of me. I will accept death. That's fine. I will not go and say sorry. So that was the glorious attitude of Parikshit Maharaj. So, path of perfection frees one from all material attachments and thus one becomes fit to enter spiritual kingdom. Those who are materially poverty stricken are better candidates than those who are materially prosperous. So, Prabhupada is giving another beautiful lesson that devotee is definitely in a detached and renounced temperament. However, all these material opulences would be little distractions for him. So Parikshit Maharaj, so far he was engaged in so many political responsibilities. So Krishna felt that why he is unnecessarily getting into all this, right? So he is involved in so many political responsibilities. Let me relieve him from all this. Let me give him an opportunity to render full-time devotional service. Let him come back to me. So I will arrange some incident. So he arranged this cursing incident. And he brought Parikshit Maharaj back. So apparently, Parikshit Maharaj was mistreated by the Lord. He was given a very inappropriate punishment for an insignificant mistake. But see the Lord's higher plan. Lord actually wanted Parikshit Maharaj to be relieved from all material responsibilities and focus exclusively on devotional service and go back to Godhead. So Krishna has arranged in such a way that Parikshit Maharaj spiritually in a better position, right, to express his devotional qualities. So he removed all the material responsibilities. So Krishna is not mistreating Parikshit Maharaj. Krishna is only bringing Parikshit Maharaj back to the spiritual world. That is the highest perspective in this whole thing. So Parikshit Maharaj was a great devotee and a bona fide candidate to enter the kingdom of Godhead. If he is a bona fide candidate to be in the spiritual world, why should he be taking care of material responsibilities in the material world? That was Krishna's point. So let him come back. So, just by the process of calling Parikshit Maharaj back to Godhead, Krishna arranged this incident, and through that incident, he is giving so many lessons. He is revealing Parikshit Maharaj's glory to this entire world. So, devotee, when he is mistreated, he would not complain. He would accept it as Krishna's will and he would gratefully receive whatever punishment is given to him in this world. On the other hand, yesterday only we were discussing in Vidyapit, 6th canto, 17th chapter, Chitraketu was cursed to become a demon by Mother Parvati. So Chitraketu got the darshan of Lord Sankarsana in 7 days, and he became a very dear devotee of Lord Sankarsana. And Lord Sankarsana wanted Chitraketu to come back to Godhead. Why is he playing the role of a king of Vidyadhara planet? So Chitraketu became the king of Vidyadhara planet, and then with Vidyadhara woman, he is traveling in airplane, singing the glories of the Lord. One day he happened to come to a place where Lord Shiva was sitting in the assembly of great sages and Siddhas, Charanas, Munis, etc. with his wife Parvati sitting in his lap. Right? He was holding Parvati, he was embracing Parvati while Parvati was sitting on his lap, and he was having a discussion in that assembly of great sages. So Chitraketu saw that. Chitraketu felt that if an ordinary person sees Lord Shiva doing like this, then he would get bewildered. He might misunderstand Shiva. Shiva is definitely not affected by this. Even ordinary people also would embrace their wives in seclusion. How can such an exalted personality like Lord Shiva embrace his wife in public in the midst of an assembly of sages and Siddhas and Charanas and many other exalted people? So Shiva is definitely not affected by it. He is an exalted person. But an ordinary person might misunderstand Shiva's character, and because of that misunderstanding, he would commit an offense to Lord Shiva, and that would affect him. Out of that great concern, Chitraketu gave a feedback to Lord Shiva. Right? People would misunderstand you. Then Parvati got offended. So that's a long episode. So many verses are there to explain the details of what happened, the discussions. But in essence, what is relevant in this context, what we can see, a parallel between Parikshit and Chitraketu was that Chitraketu commented on Lord Shiva, and Parvati immediately cursed Chitraketu. Then Chitraketu descended from the airplane and said, "My dear mother, I accept your curse." And he says, what is Gunapravaha Tasmin Kashyapaha Ponvanugraha? All these beautiful verses he speaks. He says the temporary dualities in this material world are not having any eternal effect. So what is happiness, what is distress, all this he says, and everything is orchestrated by the Supreme Lord only. And finally, after giving a lot of explanation, he says, "I did not say all these words to please you, my dear mother, so that you will nullify my curse. I don't want any relief from this curse. Shapa moksha I don't want. I just want to clarify to you that you were affected, or you became angry, or you were displeased because of my words. But please understand that I did not mean anything wrong. I had no offensive mentality. Right? I never hold any disrespectful feelings towards you or your husband. Right? You are my worshipable people. So, I just had a concern. So, I didn't mean anything wrong, but whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong, and please forgive me for that. I just wanted to say this one, sorry. So, I don't want you to relieve me from this curse, I will go." So, Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse from Shamikarishi. He did not go and beg forgiveness from Shamikarishi. Chitraketu accepted the curse from Mother Parvati, but he went and begged forgiveness from Parvati. What was the difference between their attitudes? Both of their attitudes are exactly same, because they were taking care of the emotions of the other person more than their own emotions. They can absorb all shocks, they can absorb all kinds of difficulties that come upon them, but because of their Vaishnava sensitivity, they are giving more importance to the feelings of the other persons, other devotees. Here, Shamikarishi had sent this news of curse to Parikshit Maharaj, but Shamikarishi was extremely regretful. He was embarrassed. If Parikshit Maharaj goes and says sorry, Shamikarishi would be even more embarrassed. So Parikshit Maharaj restrained himself from saying sorry. He did not beg forgiveness. But when Parvati cursed Chitraketu, she was displeased. She was agitated. She said, "Who is this fellow to correct us? Are we shameless people like someone, some ordinary materialistic people, right? Or he sees the appointed authority to correct shameless people like us. So she said like that. Brahma is sitting silent. Shiva, Narada Muni is sitting silent. Kumaras are sitting silent. Bhrigu is sitting silent. And so many Siddhas, Charanas and Munis are silently sitting. And they are not giving any feedbacks to Lord Shiva. And who is he to give us feedback? So like that, Parvati became very furious. My dear son, I curse you to become a asura. So because Parvati was affected, because Parvati was displeased by the words of Chitraketu, Chitraketu had the responsibility to go and clarify and beg forgiveness and pacify Mother Parvati. So Parvati was displeased, Chitraketu had to clarify and beg forgiveness. Here Shimikrishi was embarrassed, so he did not go and beg forgiveness. Right? And both of them never wanted a relief from the curse. Right? So, this is the Vaishnava sensitivity. They don't care for the inconvenience caused to them. They don't care for the mistreatment that they received. But they are more concerned about the emotions and feelings of other devotees. Oh, Parvati is displeased with me. What will she think? Right? So, I am insulting Shiva. I said something to Shiva. So, she might be affected. Someone comments the husband, wife would definitely get affected. Right? She will feel bad. I must go and clarify her. I must pacify her. She is my mother. So he went and said, my dear mother, I am sorry. I didn't mean anything wrong. But because you were displeased, I am sorry. So I accept your curse. I accept your punishment gratefully. Right? And he left. Like that. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is considering this blessing as it is. It is this curse as a blessing in disguise. As a devotee, he understood the cursing of the boy, although unwise, was a blessing upon him. Because the cause of detachment from social and worldly political affairs is there in front of him. So, actually this death notice is a great benediction. If we see from a highest perspective, death notice, receiving a death notice is a great benediction. For most people in this world, in this entire world, death comes all of a sudden. So death will not inform, I am coming in 1 week, I am coming in 1 month, I am coming in 10 days. So death will not give a prior notice. Yeah, so many notices will come, people are getting old, their health is going down, such kind of notices may come, but exactly one cannot understand when is he going to die. Right? But Parikshit Maharaj said, exactly after 7 days you are going to die. So Parikshit Maharaj had this privilege. So he could understand, oh, this is a very wonderful blessing. So to see that curse as a blessing requires a lot of substance within. Right? So the immediate perception of this treatment is injustice. Inappropriate treatment. But Parikshit Maharaj, because of his exalted consciousness and renounced, detached temperament, he could see it as a blessing. So human life is a chance to prepare oneself to go back to Godhead. And Varanashrama Dharma is known as a Sanatana Dharma. It prepares a man for going back to Godhead. And then the householder is ordered to go to the forest as Vanaprastha to acquire complete knowledge and then take sannyasa prior to his inevitable death. So, okay, we will go to the next verse. Fifth verse. Atho vihaye mamumam chalokam. विमर्शितौ हे यतया पुरस्ताद् कृष्णाङ्घ्रिसेवाम् अधिमन्यमान उपाविशत् प्रायममर्त्य नद्यम्.
Rejecting all other practices of self-realization because transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods.
Atho vihaye mamam chalokam. So this verse describes the determination of Parikshit Maharaj to perform devotional service. Determination. So for a devotee like Parikshit Maharaj, none of the material planets are desirable. Right? A devotee deserves to be in the spiritual world. So no opulent or wonderful planet in the material world is a fit place for residence for a devotee. So Parikshit Maharaj deserves to be there. So he sat down firmly on the bank of Ganges after renouncing everything and rejecting all other practices. He considered transcendental loving service to Krishna as the most relevant and important activity for him to perform in this context. So devotee always desires to go back to Godhead just to become one of the associates of the Lord in one of the four primary rasas. So Parikshit had the information of spiritual world. He is preparing himself to go back to the spiritual world in this context. He says, next verse. Yavaila sat shri tulasi mimishram.
Yavaila sat shri tulasi mimishram.
Krishnangri renva vyadhikambhu netri.
Krishnangri renva vyadhikambhu netri.
Punati lokan ubhayatra seshan.
Punati lokan ubhayatra seshan.
Kastamna seveta marishya manaham.
Kastamna seveta marishya manaham.
Yavaila sat shri tulasi mimishram. Krishnangri renva vyadhikambhu netri. Punati lokan ubhayatra seshan.
Punati lokan ubhayatra seshan.
Kastamna seveta marishya manah.
Kastamna seveta marishya manah.
So this verse describes the glories of Ganga and Tulasi. Read the translation. Yavai lasat shri tulasi mimishra vimishra. So Lord's lotus feet always receive these offerings of tulsi leaves. Devotees offer tulsi leaves to the Lord's lotus feet. And the water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord is Ganga. So Ganga is always mixed with the flavor of tulsi leaves. Yavai lasat shri tulasi vimishra krishnangri renu abhi adhikambu netri. Renva bhadikambu netri. So that beautiful Ganges water that is flowing, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, is always mixed with tulsi leaves. So what is the glory of that beautiful Ganges? It can purify all the three worlds. Punati lokan ubhayatra seshan. Ubhayatra means inside and outside. This Ganga can purify everyone. Punati lokan. Sadyah punati sahachandra lalama lokan. So this Ganga water can purify all the three worlds along with the all auspicious Shiva who holds Chandra on his head. Sahachandra lalama lokan. That is how pure Ganga is. Right? So he went to the bank of Ganga. Tulsi is very dear to the Lord. And our Parikshit Maharaj went to the bank of Ganga. He received the news of his curse and he retired and shifted himself to the sacred bank of Ganga. So Jiva Goswami says, Parikshit took shelter of the bank of Yamuna. Parikshit was in Hastinapur, he was present in Delhi. And Yamuna flows down past the city, his palace door. So he went to the bank of Yamuna. One reference is Ganga, another reference is Yamuna. But Prabhupada says, both are sanctified, both are connected to Krishna. So Yamuna is more directly connected to Krishna than the Ganges. So then he gives a comparison between Yamuna and Ganga. Right? Next. Itivya vachidya sa pandaveyaha.
Itivya vachidya sa pandaveyaha.
Prayopavesham prati vishnu padyam.
Prayopavesham prati vishnu padyam.
Dadhau mukundangri mananya bhavo. Munivrato mukta samasta sangaha.
Munivrato mukta samasta sangaha.
Thus the king, the worthy descendant of the Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So freeing himself from all kinds of associations and attachments, he accepted the vows of a sage.
Dado Mukundangrim Ananya Bhavo, Ananya Bhava, with undeviated attention, he completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda. Munivrato Mukta Samasta Sangaha, he accepted the vows of a renunciant, and Mukta Samasta Sangaha, he has completely given up all attachments to his royal opulences and kingly responsibilities. Right. So Ganges sanctifies all the three worlds, because it emanates from the lotus feet of Vishnu. So Parikshit decided to meditate upon the lotus feet of Krishna, who is Mukunda, or giver of liberation. To be completely free from material association means to not commit any further sinful activities. And to meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord means to become free from the effects of previous sins. So Prabhupada writes these two. So, he was cursed also, but because he was a great devotee of the Lord, even such reverses of life became favorable for him. So, a reversal is a reversal only if it causes some difficulty or inconveniences to the person who received that reversal, is it not? But if this devotee is receiving that reversal with a great smile, he is inviting it and he is happy, his bliss is increasing, his connection towards Krishna is increasing, how can that be a reversal? It's not a reversal in devotee's life. So, when Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, my dear Parvati, you are very beautiful, but the beauty of devotees is much greater than your beauty. How? He was cursed, but he tolerated that curse, and he descended from his airplane, he offered obeisances to you, he called you mother, and that curse that you gave him did not have any effect on him. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana vibhyati svarga apavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha. Whether a devotee body or a demon body, whether it is a demigod body, or whether it is hell or heaven or liberation, whatever, all these external states will not affect the internal consciousness of a devotee. So because your curse did not affect Chitraketu at all, your curse is useless. So your curse is useful only to the extent it can cause some pain to the person who received that curse. Because it did not cause any pain to the person who received the curse, your curse is useless. Similarly here also, Parikshit Maharaj received some mistreatment or reversal in his life. That is not actually a reversal. That's a great fortune for him. He saw that as a blessing and he renounced all the worldly, political, social affairs and focused completely on Krishna's service. So that is actually a blessing for him. It's not a curse. It's not a reversal in his life. So Krishna did not give any reversal or punishment to Parikshit Maharaj. Krishna did not give any punishment to Bharat Maharaj by making him enter an animal body. Because by entering animal body, Bharat Maharaj's Krishna consciousness and intensity of his bhakti increased. Right? He was more devotional, more intensely practicing devotional service in deer body or Jada Bharat's body than King Bharat's body. So Krishna, that was not a punishment then. It's not a punishment. And even Kunti also says, Vipadaha santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhava darshanam. All the calamities that you are sending in our life, they are not, although they are difficulties on a material plane, but they are increasing our attachment to you. They are increasing our dependence on you. So they are welcome, no problem. So whatever is favorable for one's Krishna consciousness, one invites that in his life. So all these reversals are actually blessings upon devotees. And of course, such exalted devotees only can see all these reversals as blessings of the Lord. A neophyte devotee will not be able to see that as a blessing. Right? So Krishna is giving these high examples in Bhagavatam. So the principle is, one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a good mood will the Lord help the devotee make regular progress towards the path of liberation and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So even if accidentally committed sins are there, Lord will forgive. So Prabhupada quotes that verse, 11th canto, 5th chapter. Svapadamulam bhajatah priyasya tyaktanyabhavasya harih pareshah. Vikarma tyat chotpatitam kathanchit dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtah. So although a devotee sometimes accidentally, by mistake, he commits some sinful activities, still he is forgiven if it is accidental mistake. If it is intentional mistake, he will have to receive some reaction. So Parikshit Maharaj retired. He was determined. His decision was very firm that I just want to focus on lotus feet of the Lord. So when Parikshit Maharaj retired, this news spread throughout the universe. Right? Without any social media or network, whatever, it just spread throughout the universe. All sages assembled. That is described from the 8th verse. Tatro bhajagmur bhuvanam punanam.
Tatro bhajagmur bhuvanam punanam.
Mahanubhava munayasa sishyaha.
Mahanubhava munayasa sishyaha.
Prayena tirthabhigama padeshaihe.
Prayena tirthabhigama padeshaihe.
Swayam hi tirthani punati santaha.
Swayam hi tirthani punati santaha.
Tatropa jagmur bhuvanam punana. So in that context, so many sages arrived on the bank of Ganges. Mahanubhava munayaha sasishyaha. They are great mahanubhavas. They are great, experienced, exalted personalities. Sasishyaha. They came along with their disciples. Right? Not one or two. So many sages came. Prayena tirthabhigamapa deshaha. So, why did they come? How did they come? On the plea of pilgrimage. Oh, let us go for a pilgrimage on the bank of Ganges. So, on the plea of visiting a pilgrimage place, all of them arrived there. Right at that point. So when Parikshit Maharaj renounced. So swayam hi tirthani punati santaha. Such santas, such great devotees, swayam hi tirthaha. They themselves are like holy places personified. And when they go to a holy place, they can purify that holy place also. Because so many people visit holy places to dump their sins there. So like that, holy places and holy rivers accumulate the sins of so many sinful people. When saintly people visit those holy places or holy rivers, then those holy places are sanctified. Their sanctity is restored by the presence of holy men. The holiness of a holy place is because of the holy men who visit those places. Right? Even when Bhagirathi, Ganga was about to descend, she asked Bhagiratha. She said, so many sinful people will come and take bath in me. And dump their sins in my waters. So, how will I be relieved from these sins? Then Bhagiratha said, all the great devotees will come and take bath in you. Then, that sinful contamination is vanquished. Right? So, Bhavad Vida Bhagavataha Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Svantasthena Gadabhrata. So, even Yudhishthira Maharaj also tells Vidura that people like you are holy places personified. When you visit holy places of pilgrimage, those holy places are sanctified. So, all the sages came not to take bath in a holy river like common men. They are competent enough to sanctify holy places. So, their purpose of coming to this place is not to take a holy bath. Second, they came to meet Parikshit Maharaj. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, they thought that seeing Parikshit Maharaj is more purifying than taking bath in a holy river. So let us go and see Parikshit Maharaj. He is such an exalted devotee. So for that purpose they came. And they could also foresee that Sukadeva Goswami is going to come here and he would be speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj for 7 days. Let us take advantage of this great holy meeting and purify ourselves. That is why all the sages assembled there. Who all came? Atrirvasishtaschavanaha saradvan.
Atrirvasishtaschavanaha saradvan.
నరిష్టనేమిర్భృగురంగిరశ్చ పరాశరోగాధిసుతోథ రామ ఉథత్య ఇంద్ర ప్రమథేద నాహౌ మేధాతిదిర్దేవల ఆరిష్టసేనో భారద్వజో గౌతమ పిప్పలాద మైత్రేయ ఔర్వహ కువశః కంబుభుంజోర్ కంభయోనిర్ ద్వైపాయనో భగవాన్ నారదశ్చ సో అత్రి చవన శరద్వాన్ అరిష్టనేమి భృగు వశిష్ట పరాశర విశ్వామిత్ర గాధిసుత ఇస్ విశ్వామిత్ర అంగీర పరశురాం రామ ఇస్ పరశురాం ఉతత్య ఇంద్రప్రమద హిద్మవాహు మేధాతిథి దేవల అరిష్టసేన భరద్వాజ గౌతమ పిప్పలాద మైత్రేయ ఔర్వ కవశ కుంభయోని ద్వైపాయన వ్యాసదేవ్ అండ్ పర్సనల్లీ శ్రీమద్ శ్రీల నారదముని సో ఆల్ దీస్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ అరైవ్డ్ దేర్ వెన్ పరీక్షిత్ మారే రేనౌస్ దేవృతి 11th వర్స్ అన్యే చ దేవర్షి బ్రహ్మర్షి వర్య రాజర్షివర్య అరుణాదయశ్చ నానా ఋషయ ప్రవరాన్ సమేతాన్ అభ్యర్చ రాజా శిరసా వదందే అన్యే చ దేవర్షి బ్రహ్మర్షివర్య అపార్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ ది names mentioned in the 9th and 10th verses, there are so many other saintly demigods, Devarshis, then Brahmarshis, then Rajarshis. So many kings came. Rajarshi means sages amongst kings. Devarshi means sages amongst demigods. Brahmarshi and other sages. So Rajarshi Varya Arunadayascha. Arunadaya, a special rank of Rajarshis. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, they are expert in certain parts of Vedas. So like that, so many people came. Nana Rishaya Pravaran Sametan Abhyaccha Raja Sirasavavandi. When all these exalted personalities came there, so this Raja, Parikshit Maharaj, offered them his humble, respectful obeisances. Right? So bowing down one's head in front of great personalities and offering obeisances to them will just attract, will melt their hearts and will attract all their blessings. Right upon the person who is offering such dandavats. So such people will be obliged to be honored which obliges the honored guest deep into the heart, Prabhupada says. And one will be forgiven for all his mistakes if he offers dandavats. If he accepts, if he gathers some humility and offers dandavats in front of other people, they can forgive. So generally at the last stage of one's life, this humble method is adopted by every sensible man in order to be excused before his departure. Before his departure, he will go to these people and then, please forgive me for any mistakes committed. So Parikshit Maharaj implored everyone's goodwill by humbly bowing down in front of them. So he offered obeisances to all the sages. Next, Sukhopavishte Svathateshu Bhuyaha ఉపస్థితోగ్రేభిగృహీత పాణి
The king, humbly standing before them with the folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death.
So, Sukhopavishtevu atha teshu bhuyaha. So, all these great sages and Rajarshis, Brahmarshis, Devarshis, they all assembled there and they took their seats. So, Parikshit Maharaj humbly stood in front of them and presented his decision. He told them the decision. What was his decision? I want to fast until death. So I have only 1 week to live. This 1 week I will just fast. So Parikshit Maharaj had already decided to fast until death. yet he humbly expressed it in front of all the sages to seek their approval. So Prabhupada writes a brilliant point. Any decision, however important it may be, should be confirmed by some authority. That makes the matter perfect. So although Parikshit Maharaj himself was confident of his decision, still he wanted the approval and the blessings and the sanction and confirmation from all these Brahmarshis, Rajarshis, Devarshis, etc. So that shows his humility and the necessity to get things confirmed from an authority. When authority confirms, then it becomes authority too. Right? Once decision may be valid and it is a proper decision, but still a confirmation from authority makes it more authentic and bona fide. This means that the monarchs who ruled the earth in those days were not irresponsible dictators. Whatever comes in my mind, I will implement. They will confirm it with Brahmanas first. They scrupulously followed the authoritative decisions of the saints and sages in terms of Vedic injunction. Parikshit, being a perfect king, he followed the suggestions of Brahmanas, guidance of Brahmanas throughout his tenure as a king. And after he retired from his kingly activities also, the final decision that he has taken, that also is presenting in front of sages and Brahmanas and getting their confirmation like that. So throughout life, whatever moral principles or, you know, guidelines that one holds as ideals, at the end of life also he will continue to hold them. So that shows the importance of leading a pure life, keeping some moral and other spiritual principles as the basis of one's life, right? So Parikshit Maharaj is continuing his good habit of consulting Brahmanas, consulting superiors and getting confirmation from them, right? If one has an independent mentality, one has no inclination to take anyone's advice, whatever I think is correct, let me go ahead with it. If one has that, at the end of life also he may not, you know, come to the mood of submissiveness or surrender or, you know, humbly taking someone else's inputs. Right? Here Parikshit Maharaj is continuing that beautiful habit. Aho vayam dhanyatama nripanam.
Aho vayam dhanyatama nripanam.
Mahattamanu grahaniya shilah.
Mahattamanu grahaniya shilah.
Ragnam kulam brahmana padashauchad.
Ragnam kulam brahmana padashauchad.
Durad visrishtam batagarhya karma.
Durad visrishtam batagarhya karma.
Aho vayam dhanyatama nripanam.
Aho vayam dhanyatama nripanam.
Mahattamanugrahaniya
shilah. Mahattamanugrahaniya
shilah. Rajnam kulam brahmana padashauchad.
Rajnam kulam brahmana padashauchad.
Durad visrishtam batagarhya karma.
Durad visrishtam batagarhya karma.
He says, aho vayam dhanyatama nripanam. Oh, my dear sages, Brahmarshis, Rajarshis, Devarshis, all of you have assembled here. That's a great fortune, right? It's my great fortune that you have assembled here. I am a fallen king, right? How can such exalted Brahmanas and sages approach a king? That's a great wonder. See the humility of Parikshit Maharaj. He never is thinking that I deserve this. I don't deserve the attention and time of such exalted personalities when I was about to leave. How can they take out their time and then come for my departure from this world? Right? He was not at all taking their association for granted. He was totally fixed up in his humility and was thinking that I don't deserve this. Aho vayam dhanyatama nripanam. We are extremely fortunate. Then he says, mahattama anugrahaniya shilaha. What is my fortune? Mahattama anugrahaniya. I have received the mercy of such great Mahatmas like you. It's my great fortune. Then Ragnam Kulam, otherwise, what is my position? Ragnam Kulam Brahmana Pada Shauchat. So the water that washed one's feet is supposed to be flowing into the drainage. Right? That is supposed to be rejected. Nobody will preserve the water that washed one's feet in their house and locker. Right? Before entering the house, they will wash their feet. and the water, wash water will go away. Right? That is spada shauchat. So, this urine, stool, wash water, and the water that we use to just clean our mouth and then throw it, gargle and throw it. So, this water is, these are contaminated stuff. So, let us reject this water. So, all the brahmanas would consider this kingly order as wash water that is supposed to be rejected. It's refuse. Ragnam kulam brahmana pada saucha durad visrishtam. You know, throw it far away. Just like wash water, you cannot do any sanctified activity. You can't do achaman with wash water. You wash your hands outside the back of room and then enter and then do achaman. Right? So, Ragnam kulam, the dynasty of kings, is considered like wash water from the side of brahmanas. So, although I am supposed to be wash water in front of all of you exalted brahmanas, you are kind enough to come to me when I am about to depart. That is great fortune unto me. See the humility with which he is receiving them, with he is welcoming them. He says, ah, good, you came on time. Sit down. Right? Now you tell me what to do. You assist me in this. He is not doing anything like that. Aho vayam dhanyataman rupanam. It's my great fortune that you have come. Mahattamanu grahaniya shilaha. Somehow my fortune, it attracted the attention of so many sages. Ragnam kulam brahmana pada sauchat durad vichrishtam bata garhya karma. And why they want to reject this kingly order as wash water? Because garhya karma. They are involved in very abominable activities. Garhya karma means whatever kings are doing, political affairs, or living in such royal palaces with so many queens, served by so many servants. They are overseeing the political affairs. So, considering the standard of a renunciant or a brahmana or a sannyasi, brahmarshi, rajarshi, devarshi, they are all garhya karma for them. So, what we do, you consider garhya karma. And you consider us as wash water. Still you are coming and sitting. When I was about to depart, this is my great fortune, he says. So, the actual position of kingly order is very graphically presented by Parikshit Maharaj, out of his humility. So Lord Chaitanya said that to be in the intimate touch with dollars and cents men or kingly order is worse than suicide for brahmanas. So that verse is there, right? Nishkinchanasya bhagavat bhajanonmukasya param param jigimisho bhagavasagarasya sandarshinam vishayinam athayoshitamcha ha hanta hanta vishabhakshanatopya sadhu. For a sadhu, for a renunciant, to be in close touch with a vishayi, a wealthy person absorbed in material enjoyment, or the opposite sex, is as good as drinking poison. So, sadhu will not approach the royal order and associate with them so closely. Because of that fact, Parikshit Maharaj is saying that, oh, we are involved in garhya karma, still you came. That's a great fortune. So, Parikshit Maharaj's gratitude. So, Parikshit Maharaj is extremely grateful for the association of all these sages. He is not taking them for granted. And also, Parikshit Maharaj had a pride. What is that pride? It's a positive pride. In exhibiting that pride, he is actually showing his humility. What is that pride? Actually, I don't deserve the association of these great souls. Because I am somehow connected with the Pandavas, out of their good affection for the Pandavas, they have come to me when I am about to depart. It's not my glory that all the sages have assembled here. It is the glory of Pandavas, and somehow I am connected to them as a grandson, so they came. So he is proud of his connection with the Pandavas. Because he is proud of his connection with the Pandavas, we can understand that he is actually humble not to take credit for the arrival of all these sages when he was about to depart. He is giving credit to Pandavas. Right? So, in the garb of being proud of his connection with the Pandavas, he is actually being humble in front of all the sages. So, our real pride is our connection with the glorious Vaishnava Parampara. So, personally, there is no pride for a devotee. Right? He doesn't feel that my activities are worthy and very glorious activities. and I'm such a great person. He doesn't feel like that. The only thing that I can feel proud of is I'm somehow connected with such a glorious Vaishnava Parampara. I'm proud of my Guru Varga. So that is his pride. Just like Parikshit Maharaj is proud of his connection with the Pandavas, a practicing devotee is proud of his glorious Guru Varga. Right? So, 14th verse.
Tasyaiva meghasya paravaresho
Vyasakta chittasya
griheshva bhikshnam Nirveda moolo dvijashapa rupo
Yatra
prakrishto bhayamasu dhatte Tasyaiva meghasya paravaresho Vyasakta chittasya griheshva bhikshnam Nirveda moolo dvijashapa rupo Yatra prasakto bhayamasu dhatte
Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's curse. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world.
Tasyaiva me aghasya paravareshu. Tasyaiva me aghasya. Although a sinful activity is committed by me. Paravarasya, para-avarasya, para-avara-isha means the Supreme Lord is the controller of this world and that world. Para-avara, the mundane world and the transcendental world. Lord is the Lord of both material world and spiritual world. So, paravaresho, what did he do? Vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshnam. Vyasakta chittasya means my consciousness is totally absorbed in household activities. Vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshnam. Abhikshnam means constantly. I was constantly absorbed in these kingly responsibilities, household duties. So the Lord is very kind to me. So how is He kind to me? Nirveda moolo. By presenting a reason or an opportunity for detachment in front of me. Nirveda moolo, he is the one who planted the seeds of detachment in my mind, in my life. He gave me the opportunity to get detached from these worldly affairs. Nirveda moolo. How did he do that? Dvijashapa rupo. In the form of, how did this detachment coming to Parikshit Maharaj? Through the medium of a curse by a Brahmana. Dvijashapa rupo. That is Lord's mercy. He says Lord's mercy is this curse from this sage, curse from this Shringi. And that is the cause of my detachment. Nirveda moolo dvijashapa rupo yatra prasakto bhayamashudhatte. So, someone who is totally absorbed in household affairs, he is actually fearful. Now he has become fearless because he is detached. Detachment means fearless. Attachment means fear. Fear of losing attachments. Detached means there is no fear. So Lord has induced that detachment in me and made me fearless. So Parikshit was born in a family of great devotees. He securely trained the transcendental attachment for association of the Lord. Right? So still found allurement of mundane life so strong that he had to be detached by a plan by the Lord. Right? Such direct action is taken by the Lord in case of a very special devotee. So Lord personally is trying to bring him out of household attachments. It may not be possible in every devotee's case. Every single householder, Lord will not go and pull him out of his home. But here, Parikshit Maharaj is personally treated by the Lord. So whenever some favor is being done by the Lord on a material plane, people will see that, oh, Lord is very merciful. Whenever some unfavorable, you know, incident is happening in one's life, on a material plane, people will think that Lord is not merciful. Why Lord is not showing mercy? So Parikshit Maharaj being protected in the womb of mother was perceived as great mercy from the Lord's side. But Parikshit Maharaj had the glorious consciousness of perceiving this event, Dvija Shapa, also as Lord's mercy. Nirvedamulo Dvija Shapa Rupo. Right? So Parikshit Maharaj is acknowledging Krishna's mercy, and also he is considering the personal presence of all these sages as Lord's protection. Lord favored me not only through this curse, apart from, you know, sending this curse in my life and causing detachment from this world, he is also arranging all these sages to come at my departure. It's an extra privilege. First, he relieved me from material responsibilities and he kept me in the association of so many sages. See, favor after favor I am receiving from the Lord. So, Parikshit Maharaj's gratitude for Krishna is increasing step by step. Just by considering his great fortune, he is becoming more and more grateful to the Lord. Actually, Krishna is orchestrating so many incidents in one's life. It only needs some presence of mind and consciousness, you know, attitude to perceive all of them as Krishna's favors. Otherwise, Krishna is keeping on, you know, doing favors, and this person is not acknowledging Krishna's mercy only. See, Parikshit Maharaj is zooming into all the small, small details of this incident and becoming grateful to the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj is finding all reasons to be grateful to the Lord. First, he has arranged curse. Wow, great. Then second, he is arranging all these sages. That's even great. And after some time, Parikshit Maharaj will feel even more grateful to Krishna that he had sent Sukadeva Goswami. And he is not taking personal credit for all these favors done by the Lord. He is transferring the credit to Pandavas. Because I am somehow connected to the Pandavas, great devotees, pure devotees, Lord is doing all these favors in my life. Right? He is grateful to the sages. He is grateful to the Shamikrishi. Right? He is also grateful to Sukadeva Goswami. He is grateful to Pandavas. He is grateful to Krishna. So like that, a reversal is increasing the feelings of gratitude in this devotee. He is finding all reasons to be grateful to so many people. Right? He is not at all perceiving any injustice in his life. Totally contrary to any materialistic person's attitude, he is just feeling only gratitude. Right? So Parikshit could understand this by the presence of the topmost transcendentalists in the universe. Lord resides with the devotees. Presence of great saints increases the presence of the Lord. So, let's see what he says. Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra.
Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra.
Ganga cha devi dhrita chitta meeshe.
Ganga cha devi dhrita chitta meeshe.
Dvijopa srishta kuhaka. Takshakova, Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha, Tammopayatam Pratiyantu Vipra, Ganga cha Devi Dhrita Chitta Meeshe, Dvijopa Srishta Kuhaka. Takshakova, Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha, Tammopayatam Pratiyantu Vipra. O Vipras, O all the Brahmanas and sages, Brahmarshis, Rajarshis, Devarshis, please accept me as a surrendered soul at your lotus feet. Gangacha Devi Dhritachittamishe. Let this goddess Ganga also accept me like a surrendered soul. Now I have no attachments, no material attachments. I am totally surrendered to this Ganga and all these great souls. So, Dijopa Srishtaha Kuhaka Takshakova. Whatever magical thing or magical bird that this Brahmana has created, let it come and bite me. I have no problem, I have no fear. Dijopa Srishtaha Kuhaka Takshakova. Dashatvalam Gayatha Vishnu Gatha. I only request you to glorify Lord Hari. Glorify Lord Vishnu. Just enumerate the qualities and pastimes of Lord Vishnu. That's all I want from you. I don't want anything else. Gayatha Vishnu Gatha. So, Kuhakaha Takshakova, that va in the third line indicates Parikshit Maharaj's disregard for any counter-cursing. Although Parikshit Maharaj is also powerful, he never even considered that I have to curse that boy back. He cursed me to die. I will also curse. I will also contemplate some harm on him. That thought even did not enter in his mind. So he is totally detached. Whatever bird he has created, that's okay, no problem. Let it come and bite me. I just want to focus my attention on Vishnu Gatha. Please glorify. So whenever a misery is coming, whenever a calamity is coming in one's life, it's not worth dwelling so deep into the details of the calamity. But what is more worthy thing, most worthy thing to do in any calamity is focusing one's attention on Vishnu Gatha, in Hari Katha. Divert your attention on Krishna Katha. That is the solution to all calamities. Don't dwell so much on the calamities. That is the beautiful message that Parikshit Maharaj is giving us through his behavior. As soon as one is given up completely under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he has no fear of death. Death causes such great, deep feelings of insecurity, and one feels loss of one's existence when death is approaching him. But devotee does not feel that, because devotee is guaranteed that I will go back to Godhead. The atmosphere created by the presence of great sages on the bank of Ganges, and Parikshit's complete acceptance of Lord's lotus feet as his only shelter, were sufficient guarantee that Parikshit Maharaj will go back to Godhead. So he was not feeling any insecurity, no fear. Let the snake bird come, no problem. Actually, through the snake bird, I am going back to Godhead. Right? So that snake bird is a very, snake bird coming is a very wonderful event that I am anticipating, I am looking forward to, because that's a step or means through which I can go back to Godhead. So even if Parikshit does not go back to Godhead also, even if he has to continue in this material life also, that is also fine with him. He's focused on devotional service. He says, even if I am not eligible to go back to Godhead, if I have to rot in this material world only, I have just three desires. If three desires are fulfilled, I don't want even to go back to Godhead. What are the three desires? He says in the next verse. Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante ratih prasangascha tadashrayeshu mahatsuyamyam upayami srishtim maitriyastu sarvatra namodvijebhyah punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante. Punascha bhuyat, if I have to take birth again, bhagavati anante ratihi, let me have a lot of attraction and love towards Supreme Lord, bhagavati. Bhagavati anante ratihi, prasangasya tad ashrayeshu, let me have the association of devotees who have taken shelter of that lotus feet of the Lord. So I want affection for Lord, I want association of devotees. Next. Mahatsuyamyam upayami srishtim maitri astu sarvatra. Maitri astu sarvatra. Let me have friendships with all living entities. Right? So all living entities are parts and parcels of Lord. I should have loving dealings with them. So I want loving friendships with all living entities. I want the association of great devotees. And I also want affection for the Lord. If these three desires are fulfilled, I don't mind taking birth again. I have only this much desire. Even Vritrasura also says, first he says, take me back to Godhead. Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyaha. I don't want any position in the entire material world. Nanaka prushtam, nachaparameshtyam, nasarvabhomam, narasadhipatyam, nayoga siddhir, apunar bhavamva, samanje sattva virahaya kankshi. So like the Chitraketu, in the form of Vritrasura, he offers prayers, four prayers he offers on the battlefield. So he rejects any position in the entire material world, and he expresses his desire to be Dasanadas. And after expressing certain desires, I want to long for the Lord just like a wife longs for the association of husband. And after considering all this, he says, How can I ask such great privileges from the Lord? Let me just ask only one privilege. What is that privilege? I want the association of devotees. That is the conclusion of his prayer. In Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva says, if at all you want to give me any benediction, give me this one benediction. I consider that as your highest mercy. What is that? Association of devotees. So like that Rudra, then Vritrasur, then Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Prachetas, all these great souls are just asking for the association of devotees. To be able to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees is the greatest fortune a soul can aspire for. So that is their aspiration. Through this verse also we say, we understand. And Namo Dvijebhyah, the word Namo Dvijebhyah also is indicating a fourth desire of Parikshit Maharaj. May I have respect for Brahmanas. Namo Dvijebhyah, he says. So Prabhupada is explaining the qualities of a devotee. Devotee is no one's enemy, although there are many enemies for a devotee. Enemies of a devotee. He doesn't like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. So devotee is like a good son of a father. So why Parikshit Maharaj is saying Maitriyastu Sarvatra? Sarvatra, first he said, I want the association of devotees, but I want friendships with everyone also. So he has made devotees exclusive and expressed his desire to associate with them. But that doesn't mean he wants to just ignore all the non-devotees or other living entities in general. They are also important. They are also parts and parcels of the Lord. So he will take shelter of the association of devotees and nourish himself with devotional service. And he will also give that nourishment to other people who are not doing devotional service. That's why he is asking Maitriyastu Sarvatra. If I have friendships with other devotees who may, other people, other living entities who may not be practicing devotional service, I will inspire them to practice devotional service. So that is the nature of a devotee who is like a good son of a good father. So he sees all the living entities as parts and parcels of Krishna. They are the children of God. I am also a child of God. But I am in a good position. Let my brothers and sisters also have that position. Let me bring them to that good position of their connection with the Father. In that sense, he is asking Maitriyastu Sarvatra. It's not that Parikshit Maharaj does not have any discrimination. Devotees, I want them. Non-devotees, I want them also. That is not the way. Devotees, I want their association for sustenance of my devotional service. Non-devotees, I want to benefit them also. Living entities in general also are there. I want to benefit them by educating them in Krishna consciousness, whatever I know. Like that. So Parikshit was certainly going back to Godhead. But even if he were not going back to Godhead, he wanted these three things. Love for Lord, association of devotees, and friendships with all living entities. Respect for Brahmanas. 17th verse. Iti sma rajendraya saya yuktah.
Iti sma rajendraya saya yuktah.
Prachina muleshu kusheshu dhirah. उदन्मुखो दक्षिणकूल आस्ते समुद्रपत्न्याः स्वसुत न्यस्तभारः
himself is not. Just previously he had given charge of
Hastinapur. So Parikshit Maharaj is fully equipped with all favorable conditions. The 17th verse is revealing. He had full perfect self-control. He was not again distracted by the thoughts of the kingdom. Oh, I left the kingdom and came back. How is Janamejaya doing there? So is my kingdom safe? Is my palace safe? So he was not having those thoughts at all. He was totally focused on bhakti. So he had handed over the administration to his son with all detachment. And he was sitting on the bank of the Ganges. So Samudra Patnyaha, the word Samudra Patnyaha indicates wife of Samudra, ocean. What is that? River. Here it is Ganga. and he is sitting on a kusha mat. Seat of kusha astra was sanctified, root was intact, and kusha astra was pointing towards the east. That also is considered very auspicious. So he was facing north, very favorable for spiritual success.
Evam cha tasmin naradeva deve
evam cha tasmin naradeva deve
prayopavishte divideva sanghaah
prayopavishte divideva sanghaah
prashasya bhumau vyakiran prasunair
prashasya bhumau vyakiran prasunair
mudamuhurdundu bhayascha neduhu
mudamuhurdundu bhayascha neduhu.
Now appraisal from demigods is receiving. So from some favorable conditions for Parikshit Maharaj's spiritual success are mentioned in 17th verse, and how he is getting some support and appraisal from demigods is mentioned in 18th verse. Read the translation.
Does the king Maharaj Parikshit, so
they were showering flowers and beating celestial drums. So even up to the time of Parikshit Maharaj, there is some interplanetary communications. So when something happens in the earth, demigods are showering flowers, and that can be seen by the earthly beings also. So the communication between higher planets and lower planets is there, and it is perceivable, at least to some people. But now it is very difficult. So demigods are obedient to the orders of the Supreme Lord. They are not atheists or non-believers. Any devotee is always praised by them. And in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, they were greatly delighted and thus gave tokens of honor by scattering flowers over earth and by beating celestial drums. A demigod actually takes pleasure to see someone going back to Godhead. In the fourth canto, we see Archi and Prithu. They were going back to Godhead. All the celestial ladies, they were glorifying the fortune of Mother Archi. She served Prithu Maharaj just like Lakshmi serves Narayan, and they were glorifying like anything. And there were flowers, showers falling on the funeral pyre of Parikshit or Prithu Maharaj. So like that, demigods actually feel happy when a devotee is performing devotional service. Even Lord Shiva says, Yah param ramhasak sakshat triguna jiva samgitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam prapannaha sa priyohimi. Whoever is a surrendered devotee of Lord Vasudeva is extremely dear to me. That's what Shiva says in the 4th canto, 24th chapter, before Rudra Gita. When Prachetas were performing devotional service, so Rudra understood their intention. Oh, you want to worship Vasudeva? I will help you. I will teach you Rudra Gita. Then he taught. So demigods actually feel very happy. So that is how there is a nice cooperation between the Lord, the demigods, and the devotees.
Maharshayo vai samupagataye prashasya sadhityanumodamanah
poochuh
Prajanugrahasilasara
Yaduttamashlokagunabhirupam
Yaduttamashlokagunabhirupam. On the blessed sages, who are assembled there, also praised the decision of Maharatpali, and they expressed their approval by saying, terrible. Naturally, the sages are inclined to do good commonly, for they have all the qualitative powers of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they were very much pleased to see Maharaj Parikshit, the devotee of God, and they still asked him.
So, Parikshit received appraisal from the demigods in the 18th verse. He is receiving approval from the sages in the 19th verse. So the natural beauty of a living entity is enhanced by rising up to the platform of devotional service. So Parikshit was absorbed in attachment for Lord Krishna. So sages were very pleased. Whenever someone is advancing in devotional service nicely, he is developing such love for Krishna, other devotees will feel pleasure. So devotional service is so auspicious that all demigods and sages up to the Lord himself became pleased with a devotee, and therefore the devotee finds everything auspicious. like that. So everything is auspicious. So the apparent inauspicious things that happen in a devotee's life, they remain inauspicious only in the imperfect perceptions of conditioned souls. But they are not inauspicious for a devotee. Although this curse is considered inauspicious by people in general, but it is not auspicious. It is not inauspicious. It is the most auspicious thing in Parikshit Maharaj's life. Nava idam rajarshivarya chitram.
Nava idam rajarshivarya chitram.
Bhavat sukrishnam samanuvrateshu.
Bhavat sukrishnam samanuvrateshu.
Yedhyasanam rajakirita jushtam.
Yedhyasanam rajakirita jushtam.
Sadyojagur bhagavat parshvakamaha.
Sadyojagur bhagavat parshvakamaha.
Sage Sim, who chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty, was strictly in the line of Lord Krishna. It is not at all astonishing that you view up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of God.
So sages are further appreciating Parikshit Maharaj's detachment. My dear Parikshit, you are so detached. You have given up your kingdom just like that, right? You have given the charge to your son, and what kind of king are you? Your throne, see, it is not at all astonishing that you gave up your throne, which is decorated with helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association of the personality of Godhead. So it requires great renunciation to relinquish one's opulences, great opulences, to surrender to Krishna. So he is giving more importance to surrendering unto Krishna than all the beautiful kingly opulences he has. He is not caught up in the fame and reputation that he received as a great king. All the other great kings are surrendering to Parikshit Maharaj. They kept their helmets at the footrest of Parikshit Maharaj. Right? Still he was not at all affected by that. He was focused on devotional service. Many times, when one receives so much of adoration and respect and worship and affection from people, he may get carried away by it. He may get affected by it. It's all positive emotions only. They are showing affection. They are showing respect. One may get caught up in that network of receiving respect and receiving appreciation and affection from the people. And then he may lose focus on his primary goal of devotional service. So he would... When one receives so much of affection and respect from other people, there is also a possibility to neglect the material aspect of it and thus neglect the spiritual progress also. For example, Jada Bharat, he was being trained by his father, Brahmana, in the Angira dynasty. So Jada Bharat was not at all affected by that emotion. Ultimately, this is a material emotion. Jada Bharat was thinking that my father is trying to teach me Achaman, he is trying to teach me Gayatri, he is trying to teach me all the rules and regulations that a Brahmana is supposed to follow with great affection. So just to teach one Gayatri, he took 4 months. Then also Jada Bharat could not understand it, he could not follow it. First one has to evacuate, then he has to wash. Then he has to clean. Then Jada Bharat will first wash and then evacuate. Like that. He does everything opposite and purposely. So he was not at all carried away by the affection of his father. He understood ultimately it is on a materialistic platform, and whatever he is teaching me is not, is just a Vedic karmakandic ritual. It's not a very devotional thing. So I am not bothered about that. And I will not be caught up by the material emotions of this father. So he was focused on his devotional service. So Parikshit Maharaj, with great detachment, he left all of that. So Lord assured in Bhagavad Gita that going back to Godhead is the highest achievement. So that is kept the most important thing in devotee's life. So Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj and he explains some features of the material world. Next. some features of material world are like this. Material remedies are more painful than the disease itself. Prabhupada quotes this, dukkha oshadam tadapi dukkham atadhyaham. Next verse, 21. Sarve vayam tavadiha smaheta.
Sarve vayam tavadiha smaheta.
Kalevaram yavada sovihayam.
Kalevaram yavada sovihayam.
Lokam param virajaskam vishokam.
Lokam param virajaskam vishokam.
Yasyatyayam bhagavatah pradhana.
Yasyatyayam bhagavatah pradhana.
Shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord Maharaj Parikshit returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation.
So sarve vayam tavadiha smahetha. So we shall all wait here until the foremost devotee, Bhagavata Pradhana. Now sages, after appreciating Parikshit Maharaj, they have made a decision. What is the decision? My dear Parikshit, you are Bhagavata Pradhana. You are best of all devotees. As long as you are here, we will be here. We want to see, we want to witness that glorious incident of your departure to Vaikuntha. You are going to spiritual world, we want to see that. We will be here as long as that happens, till that happens. And where are you going? Lokam param virajaskam vishokam. Virajaskam, it is totally free from any material contamination. Vishokam, totally free from lamentation. That is that lokam param, spiritual world. We are going there. Bhagavata Pradhana devotee is going to such a spiritual planet. So we want to see that. How can we give up this opportunity? We will be here. They are assuring. So when a great devotee passes away, Prabhupada is writing, there is nothing to be lamented because he is going to a place where there is no lamentation. Why there is shoka when a devotee passes away? Because he is entering a arena of vishoka. Right? Virajaskam vishokam. So there is no need to lament. But because the devotee's association we are missing, it is a sorry plight. Devotees feel very unhappy when a devotee departs. So, but the sorry plight is that just great devotees leave our side, and therefore there is every reason to feel sorry, to lament. The lamentation is because we are missing such an exalted devotee, his association. So, but there is no lamentation in the sense that he is entering an arena of lamentation perpetually. He will be entering the kingdom of God. So, 22nd verse. So the speech of sages is very perfect. Parikshit Maharaj gives a perfect response to it. Ashrutya tadrishi gana vacha parikshit. Ashrutya tadrishi gana vacha parikshit.
Ashrutya tadrishi gana vacha parikshit.
Samam madhuchyud guruna chavya likam.
Samam madhuchyud guru chavya likam.
Abhashatanam abhinanya yuktan.
Abhashatanam abhinanya yuktan.
Sushrushamanas charitani vishnoha.
Sushrushamanas charitani vishnoha.
He says, Sutta Goswami is continuing. Ashrutya tad rishi gana vachah parikshit. Ashrutya. So Parikshit Maharaj heard the words of Rishigana. Right? And what are the qualities of their words? Samam, they are impartial words. Next, Madhuchyud, they are very sweet words. Guru, very profound words with deep meaning. Next, Avyalikam. Avyalikam means they are honestly true. There is no duplicity in those words. So, four qualities of the sages are mentioned. So, they are impartial words, right? They are very sweet words. They are sweet because they praised Parikshit Maharaj as a great devotee. And Guru, they are very profound words because they said about Lord's planet, very profound, high things they are speaking about the Lord's Param Lokam as Virajaskam and Vishokam, right? Next, Avyalikam. Avyalikam means they are devoid of any duplicity because they mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj, you are going back to Godhead. So the sages' words are Samam, Avyalikam, and Madhuchyut, and Guru. Four qualities. So after hearing this, What did Parikshit Maharaj do? He offered obeisances. Susrushamanascha charitani Vishnoho. Right? Abhashatanam abhinandya yuktan. With great intelligence, Parikshit Maharaj offered obeisances to these sages and exhibited an inclination to hear Krishna Katha. Right? Susrushamanas charitani Vishnoho. He was eager to hear Krishna Katha. Samagata sarvata eva sarve.
Samagata sarvata eva sarve.
Vedayatha murti dharas tripushte.
Vedayatha murti dharas tripushte.
Nehatana mutracha kashchanartha.
Nehatana mutracha kashchanartha.
Rute paranugrahamatma shilam.
Rute paranugrahamatma shilam.
Parikshit is glorifying the sages. First he said, you have kindly assembled here. Then he said, you are all having great knowledge. Your knowledge is as good as Vedic, Vedas personified. And you are all inclined to do good for others. But for this, you have no interest either in this life or in the next life. So Parikshit is acknowledging the kindness of all the sages. And Parikshit is acknowledging their exalted position in the universe as most knowledgeable people. Parikshit is also acknowledging their goal. What is their goal? To reclaim the fallen souls in this material world. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, it's not just their goal. It is their nature. It is their swabhava. It is not just their ambition. It is their swabhava. By nature, they want to reclaim the conditioned souls. They want to enable all the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead by educating them in devotional service. So, the three qualities mentioned by Parikshit Maharaj are elaborated by Prabhupada in the purport. Next, Parikshit Maharaj asks two questions to the sages. Tatascha vah pruchayam imam vipruchhe.
Tatascha vah pruchayam imam vipruchhe.
Vishrabhya vipra iti krityatayam.
Vishrabhya vipra iti krityatayam.
Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam.
Sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam.
Shuddham cha tatra shritayabhi yukta.
Shuddham cha tatra shritayabhi yukta.
O trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and especially of those who are just about to die.
So he asked two questions. What is the duty of a person in all circumstances? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? Two questions. So actually the second question is more important than the first question, because everybody is going to die. So first he needs to understand that. So Prabhupada says that the entire Bhagavatam from here, now we are in the last chapter of first canto, so canto 2 till canto 12 is more or less dealing with answer to these two questions, he says. So Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on his conviction, so that he might be able to go on it is confirmed duty without controversy. Similar principle Prabhupada said in one of the previous purports also, we discussed. So, one may have his conviction, but if he gets a confirmation about his conviction from authorities, then he can comfortably go ahead, right? Confidently go ahead. That's what he's saying. So, after Parikshit Maharaj heard Putana's episode from Sukadeva Goswami, then he says, Ena ena avatarena Bhagavan Haririshwaraha. Karoti karna ramyani, manognani janah prabhu. Then, yat shrunvato apaiti aratir vitrishna, sattvam cha shudhyat yachirena pumsaha. Then, bhaktim harau tat purushe cha sakhyam tadeva haram vadamanya sejit. So, he gives several effects, around seven effects of hearing Krishna's childhood pastimes. And finally, he says, tadeva haram vadamanya sejit. With my intelligence, I am thinking that hearing childhood pastimes of Krishna is very beneficial for me. But if your greater intelligence confirms this, then only you can continue to describe. If you think I am not qualified to hear Krishna's childhood pastimes further, if you think I not supposed to hear, so you don't have to speak. So this is, according to my intelligence, this is what I think is good for me. But if your greater intelligence also confirms that, my opinion will become a conviction. As of now, this is my opinion. This is my understanding. But I will be only convinced about it, that this is what is the right thing for me to do, once you approve it. So please approve it. And if you approve it, then you can go ahead. Same thing he is also saying here. So Parikshit Maharaj, it appears that Parikshit Maharaj inquired from the sages, and the sages were little confused, or they could not come to a solid conclusion. He says, what is the duty? Parikshit Maharaj asked, what is the duty of a person at all circumstances, and especially when he is about to die? So they have different opinions. All the sages could not come to one solid opinion. So Krishna arranged that Sukadeva Goswami arrived there. Ushna Chakravarti Thakur even writes that all these sages, because they could not give a proper answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question, they looked towards the direction from which Sukadeva Goswami is supposed to make his appearance. So Sukadeva Goswami now enters. Right? So all the sages unanimously agree that Sukadeva Goswami has to answer this question. We will not answer. So 25th verse.
Tatra bhavat bhagavan vyasaputro yadrichayagam atamano anapeksha alaksha lingo nijala bhatushto vratascha balai avadhuta vesha.
At that moment, there appeared a form of one of the ashrams, traveled to the world, disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not look at the incomes of the local model or status of life. He was surrounded by his children and he dressed as the others had invented.
Tatra bhavat bhagavan vyasaputro. At that time vyasaputra came. Vyasdeva was there, Narada was there. But vyasaputra is supposed to speak. That's what Krishna's decision is. So he came. He is also called Bhagavan. Sometimes this Bhagavan is, the word Bhagavan is used in relationship with his devotees also. So Sukadeva Goswami was disinterested in his material affairs. So Sukadeva Goswami was on a liberated platform. So he arrived. His physical beauty is described in the next three verses.
Tam drishtva varsham sukumara padam karoru bahvam shakapola gatram charvaya takshonna tulyakarana subhrananam kambhusujata kantham.
This is the beauty of Sukadeva Goswami.
This son of Vyasdeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead and the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully white and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell.
So his beauty is described. So a respectable personality is described from his lotus feet. Right? Even when Lord's form is described, so it begins from feet to the lotus face. Even when we are reading Bhagavatam, we read from first canto to 12th canto. Like progressive. So from his feet the description is given.
Sukumara pada karoru bahu amsha kapola gatram.
Next verse also is like that.
Nigodhajatram pruthutunga vakshasam avartanabhim valivalgudham cha దిగంబరం వక్త్ర వికీర్ణకేశం ప్రళంబబాహుం స్వమర్తోత్తమాంభం
His arms were long, curly hair was trailed over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna.
So, Sukadeva Goswami's bodily beauty is described in these two verses. Next, now in the 28th verse, we see that sages honor Sukadeva Goswami. Shyamam sada piva vayo anga lakshmya Strinam manognam ruchirasmitena Pratyutitaste munayah svanasebhya తల్లక్షణజ్ఞాపి గూఢవర్చసం
He was blackish and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of saishyonobodhi. And so they honored him by rising from their seats.
Except Narada Muni, Vyasadeva and few other devotees, few other sages, everyone rose to receive Parikshit Maharaj. Receive Sukadeva Goswami. Now Parikshit's response is described in the 29th verse. Savishnurato atitasya agatyam
Savishnurato atitasya
Tasmai saparyam shirasajahara
Tasmai saparyam shirasajahara
Tato anivritta yadhutaha striyorbhaka Mahasane sopa vishesha pujita
Mahasane sopa vishesha pujita
Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as a Vishnura, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest Sukadeva Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and the boys ceased following Srila Sukadeva. Receiving respect from all, Sukadeva Goswami took his exalted seat.
So Parikshit also received him nicely. Sages stood up and received Sukadeva Goswami nicely. And finally, Sukadeva Goswami went and took his seat. So he was offered the presidential seat in that meeting. So many people are there. And no one had any objection. Why Sukadeva Goswami? He is so young. There are many senior people. So no disputes. Everyone unanimously agreed that Sukadeva Goswami is supposed to speak. Sukadeva Goswami was outstanding amongst all. Sasamrutastatra mahan mahiyasam Brahmarshi Rajarshi Devarshi Sanghaihi Vyarochatalam Bhagavan Yathendur Grahakshatara Nikaraih Paritah Sasamrutastatra Mahan Mahiyasam Brahmarshi Rajarshi Devarshi Sanghaihi Vyarochatalam Bhagavan Yathendur Grahakshatara Nikaraih Paritah How? Yeah, this.
Was there surrounded by saintly cities and they got just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous and he was respected by all.
So, how Sukadeva Goswami was outstanding and he was very exceptional in his attire and in his presence there is described in this verse. So Sukadeva Goswami was not known as Brahmarshi, Rajarshi, Devarshi. He was not an incarnation like Narada Muni or Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was a later incarnation. Parashuram was an incarnation. He was not like that. Yet he excelled all of them in terms of receiving respects from people present there. So this means that the devotee of the Lord is more honored in the world than the Lord himself. One should therefore never minimize the importance of a devotee like Sukadeva Goswami, Prabhupada says. Now, the combination of perfect spiritual master and perfect disciple is described in the 31st verse. Sukadeva Goswami's situation and Parikshit Maharaj's situation is described. Prashantamasinamakunthamedhasam Munim Rupo Bhagavato Bhupetya Pranamya Murdhana Vihata Kritanjalir Natvagira Sun Rutayavar Puchat
Natvagira Sun Rutayan Puchat.
Srila Sukadeva Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent and ready to answer any question without hesitation.
So Akuntha Medhasam, he has unlimited intelligence, he is ready to answer any question. Right? He knows the essence of all scriptures, whatever doubts Parikshit Maharaj may have and whatever pastime Parikshit may want to hear, he is ready to answer and elaborate and narrate everything. So that is how he is a perfect spiritual master. Then pranamya murdhana vahita kritanjalir natva gira sunrutaya avapruchat. And Parikshit Maharaj is a perfect disciple. Just like Sukadeva Goswami is a perfect guru, Parikshit is a perfect disciple. He approached him. So the necessary qualification of a disciple is his submissiveness and obedience and respectful attitude towards his guru. So Parikshit Maharaj has all this. He approached him, offered him respects by bowing before him and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. He has humility and guru has knowledge. So Parikshit thus fulfills the scriptural injunction, that is to humbly approach a guru. Right? Tadviddhi pranipatena, pariprashnena sevaya. Right? He has pranipat and he has pariprashna, seva. Right? So all this Parikshit has. So Prabhupada says there is no necessity to approach a spiritual master just to maintain one's prestige that I also have a guru. Prabhupada says the very fact that you have a spiritual master means you should approach him for spiritual knowledge, place relevant inquiries and get spiritual answers and implement that in your spiritual life. So one who does not know how to put questions before a spiritual master has no business seeing him. Both spiritual master and disciple attained perfection through the medium of Bhagavatam, salvation. So Parikshit Maharaj became perfect by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami is perfect by speaking Bhagavatam. So he is a perfect disciple, he is a perfect spiritual master, and they have a perfect medium of communication, perfect way of interaction, that is Bhagavatam in the center. So this is a perfect combination. When such a perfect combination is discussing Krishna Katha, that discussion becomes more perfect and most perfect, that for all ages to come, that becomes relevant and reference point for all other people, that to follow, all other practitioners or spiritual practitioners. Now the speciality of Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit is that both are renounced. There are three pairs of hearer-speaker combinations mentioned in the first canto. First pair was Suta Goswami and Naimisharanya sages. Second pair was Vyasadeva and Narada Muni in the fourth, fifth and sixth chapters. And the third pair is Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Out of these three pairs, this pair, Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami's pair, is standing superior. Why? Because Naimisharanya sages were earlier inclined to some karmakandic sacrifices also, and they also have an inclination to hear Krishna Katha from Suta Goswami, but this is very exceptional. And Vyasadeva was also hearing from Parikshit Maharaj, but he was in a state of despondency. Right? So, but this combination, Sukadeva Goswami is totally renounced person. He does not even wear cloth also. Parikshit Maharaj is completely renounced in this context. Right? Now, neither Sukadeva Goswami nor Parikshit Maharaj
has any inclination to do any material activity or any activity for that matter in their entire life except glorifying Krishna. The only agenda in Parikshit Maharaj's life left is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He has no other things in the behind, right? In the back of the mind, something else was not going on. He was not getting phone calls, he was not getting any other things. The only activity he has to do in life is hear Bhagavatam. Exclusively hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And is completely renounced. Same thing with Sukadeva Goswami also. So that renunciation and detachment becomes a very important and primary qualification for a Bhagavatam hearer and speaker, for them to, you know, take advantage of the subject matter nicely. If they have many other agendas also to fulfill, they may not be able to exclusively focus on Krishna Katha. But this renouncer spirit, this renouncer condition is a very wonderful advantage for this pair. So this pair is considered very supreme pair, right? Amongst the hearing and hearer-speaker pairs. Parikshit is saying now. Next, 8 verses Parikshit Maharaj speaks. Parikshit Uvacha.
Aho
Adhyavayam Brahman.
Aho Adhyavayam Brahman.
Satsevyaha Kshatra Bandhavaha.
Satsevyaha Kshatra Bandhavaha.
Krupayatithi Rupena.
Krupayatithi Rupena.
Bhavadbhihi Tirthakah Krutaha.
Bhavadbhihi Tirthakah Krutaha.
The fortunate king Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage. All by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy we, who are but unworthy royalty, become eligible to serve the devotee.
Aho adya vayam brahman sat sevyah kshatra bandhavah. So when Parikshit Maharaj retired and went on the bank of Ganges, so many sages assembled. Parikshit Maharaj said something similar. What did he say? We are royalty, supposed to be refuse, like wash water, kept far away, and Brahmanas would not even look at us. But still, vayam dhanyatama. So we are very fortunate that all of you have come in front of us. Something similar he is saying here. Aho vadya vayam brahman sat sevyah kshatra bandhavah. Kshatra Bandhavaha means we are not bona fide Kshatriyas, we are relatives of Kshatriyas. He is considering himself like that. Of course, he is a most exalted Kshatriya, no doubt about it. So, Kripaya Atithi Rupena, Kripaya out of his great mercy, Atithi Rupena, in the form of a guest, Sukadeva Goswami has come to Parikshit Maharaj. Bhavad Bihi Tirthakaha Karaha. So, you have made unworthy people like us as worthy. You have enabled us as if we went to places of pilgrimage, right? Because the place of pilgrimage, personified place of pilgrimage, has come to us. So we have the fortune of visiting a holy place now in the form of your good self. So saintly devotees like Sukadeva Goswami generally do not approach worldly enjoyers, especially royal orders. But Sukadeva Goswami has come. So even Maharaj Pratap Rudra also was denied an opportunity to meet Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya did not show much interest in meeting him. So this is all Parikshit's humility only. He felt himself as an unworthy descendant of Kshatriyas. He felt himself unqualified for Sukadeva Goswami's association. Still, he accepted it because it is mercifully given to him. So Parikshit was greatly encouraged and felt himself sanctified by the presence of Sukadeva Goswami. So, although a devotee feels himself unqualified to accept some privilege, still he accepts it. Because for him, Krishna's mercy is more superior. Krishna's mercy is greater than my disqualification. So he is not overwhelmed with the feeling of, you know, disqualification. He was not overwhelmed with his own disqualifications. He understands that my disqualifications are nothing in front of the mercy of Krishna. Krishna's mercy is more superior. How can I reject this mercy coming from Krishna, thinking that I am disqualified, I am unqualified? So, is my not being qualified greater, or Krishna's mercy of delivering an unqualified person greater? So I accept that mercy. In that great attitude, devotee receives. He has his humility. He retains his humility. He thinks that I don't deserve this. He never thinks that I deserve this. He never takes that opportunity for granted. At the same time, he receives that opportunity in a humble mood. Same thing Akrura also did. Akrura was going to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura as per Kamsa's instruction. He was thinking that, "Are, who am I to see Krishna and Balaram? Today by Kamsa's mercy, I am getting a fortune to meet Krishna and Balaram, although I am not at all qualified for it. I am not at all qualified to see Krishna and Balaram, but let me keep aside all those thoughts." Because although a person is drowning in an ocean, by great mercy, by the will of Providence, sometimes he may reach the shore. Sometimes he may contact an island and then go on to that land. So similarly, although I am so unqualified, still by Lord's mercy, I am getting this privilege of seeing them, taking their darshan. So devotee definitely is humble. He doesn't feel himself qualified to accept a spiritual privilege. At the same time, he accepts it in a mood of humility, acknowledging Krishna's mercy. That is superior than my disqualification. Yesham samsmaranat pumsam.
Yesham samsmaranat pumsam.
Sadyah shudhyanti vaigraha.
Sadyah shudhyanti vaigraha.
Kim punardarshana sparsham.
Kim punardarshana sparsham.
Pada saucha asanadibhihi.
Pada saucha asanadibhihi.
Simply by or remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet and offering you a seat in our home.
Esham samsmaranat pumtaha sadhyah shudhyanti vaigruhaha. Just by remembering you, we become sanctified. Or just by being remembered by you, we become sanctified. If a devotee remembers me, that's an advantage for me. Right? And if I remember a devotee, that is also an advantage for me. Devotee is not someone to get benefited because of me. I get benefited by remembering him or by being remembered by him. So, yesham samsmaranat pumsaha sadyaha sudhyanti vaigruhaha kimpunar darshana sparsha. If remembrance can purify me so much, what to speak of darshana, seeing that devotee, sparsha, touching that devotee, pada shauchasanadibhi, by washing the lotus feet of that devotee. So, devotees are so pure, they can purify. It is said that sinful persons go to places, holy places, and leave their sins that they accumulate. And when saintly people go there, they purify those holy places also. This comes earlier also. Therefore, the holy saints actually have no self-interest with the householders. The only aim of such saints is to sanctify the houses of the householders. And householders therefore are obliged and grateful to him. Even Nanda Maharaj says, Mahadvichalam Ronam Grihinam Dina Chetasam. When Gargamuni comes to Nanda Maharaj's house, Nanda Maharaj says, "You people have no reason to visit our houses, but you visit our houses only to sanctify our houses, only to purify our existence." Right? Next. Sannidhyate Maha Yogin.
Sannidhyate Maha Yogin.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Patakani Mahantyapi.
Sadyo Anashyanti Vai Pumsaham.
Sadyo Anashyanti Vai Pumsaham.
Vishnor Ivasuretarah.
Vishnor Ivasuretarah.
Just as the atheist cannot remain the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of the man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic.
Vishnor Ivasuretarah. Sura Itarah means asuras, demons. So, demons cannot stand in front of the prowess of Lord Vishnu. Similarly, in front of the purity of great devotees, sinful mentalities cannot stand. Just by the darshan of a devotee, other people's sins will vanquish. Darshane pavitra kari etamara gun. We sing, right? So, sannidhyate mahayogin patakani mahantyapi. Great patakas, mahan patakas, great sinful tendencies can be purified and vanquished by coming in contact with a devotee. Right? Sadyo nashyati vaipumsa.
So devotee, because of manifesting good qualities, is called a demigod. So the demon cannot stand in the presence of Vishnu, and he is always busy in trying to vanquish the personality of Godhead. But factually, as soon as Lord appears, by either his name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, etc., etc., the demon is at once vanquished. So when holy names are chanted, any negative powers cannot exert their influence. When Parikshit Maharaj was hearing Putana episode, was about to hear Putana episode, and Sukadeva Goswami says, Putana, Lokabalagni, Rakshasi, Rudhirashana. So like that, Parikshit Maharaj is introducing Putana. Right? This is how, she's a witch, she's a khechari. She takes some stick and sits on it and then travels and then kills babies. Like that he was introducing Putana, how horrible she is. Then Parikshit Maharaj immediately, he got into the mood of the pastime and he was little worried what will happen to Krishna. Then immediately to pacify Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami says, wherever Krishna's holy name is being chanted, wherever Krishna's glories are being chanted, all these witches and yatudhanis, they cannot exert their influence. Don't worry. What to speak of Vrindavan, where Krishna is constantly remembered by each and every single living entity in the entire Vrajabhumi, is remembering Krishna. How can a witch exert its influence? Whatever may be the demon, Aghasur, Bakasur, Vyomasur, Vatsasur, Arishtasur, Putana, Tranavarta, whoever comes in Vrindavan, they have to be killed. They cannot cause any disturbance to Vrajavasis and Krishna. How can Krishna be affected? How can Krishna's devotees be affected? That no one can cause any havoc in Vrindavan, he says. So, that is the purifying potency of the Lord, Lord's holy name, Lord's paraphernalia and Lord's devotees also. So this verse describes the purifying potency of Lord's devotees. So great saints and devotees are in the list of Lord's paraphernalia. So they also have that purifying potency. So Parikshit acknowledges that he is receiving Krishna's mercy only because of his being a relative of Pandavas. Whatever he told the sages, he is telling Sukadeva Goswami also. Same thing is repeating. First he expressed his disqualification to receive the association of Sukadeva Goswami or the sages. Then he mentioned his connection with the Pandavas. Same thing is coming now. Apimeya Bhagavan Pritaha. Krishna Pandusuta Priya.
Krishna Pandusuta Priya.
Pitrusvasya Prityartham. Tadgotrasya Itta Bandhavaha. Abhimeya Bhagavan Pritaha Krishna Pandusuta Priyaha. Krishna is Pandusuta Priyaha. He is extremely dear to Pandavas. And because I am connected to Pandavas, Krishna had mercifully sent Sukadeva Goswami to enlighten me at the last stages of my life. Right? When this calamity came in my life, it's not a calamity. Because Krishna had sent Sukadeva Goswami, how can it be calamity? A pure and exclusive devotee of the Lord saves his family interest more dexterously than others who are attached to illusory family members. Even Lord Chaitanya says, even a dog in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is very dear to me. Right? So what to speak of an exalted devotee like Parikshit Maharaj, who is connected to the Pandavas. So Lord is very affectionate towards devotees and people who are connected to the devotees also. Lord gives special protection to the family members and descendants of a devotee. So next, Parikshit by his introspection considers Sukadeva Goswami's voluntary arrival at that place being inspired by Lord's causeless mercy. 36th verse is having that theme. Anyathate vyakta gater darshanam nah katham grinam nitaram riyamananam samsiddhasya vinishayah.
Samsiddhasya vinishayah.
Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here? Though you are moving incognito to the common man, and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death.
So Parikshit is acknowledging Krishna's mercy. He felt himself unqualified. He is acknowledging the mercy of the sages. He is acknowledging the glory of Pandavas with whom he was connected. He is acknowledging Krishna's mercy and he is presenting his questions. This is a common theme in his words when he spoke to the sages and then when he spoke to Sukadeva Goswami also. So Sukadeva Goswami was suddenly inspired by Krishna to appear voluntarily. No one invited him. No one had sent a message to him. Still he came. So Lord is seated in the heart of every living entity. He knows the movements and desires and situation of every living entity. He would inspire different people to come in contact with this person in various ways for whatever purposes to fulfill. So if he finds that a particular soul is very eager to go back to Godhead, he sends his one of a representative. For example, Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by Suruchi. He was so affected. Then Dhruva Maharaj cried. He came to his mother Suniti. Davagnina Daru Lata Iva Bala. So Suniti was extremely perturbed and affected and pained by this incident. So far, she was treated like a maid servant by her husband and by her co-wife, and she was personally alone experiencing all that pain. Now she was perturbed to see her son experiencing the same pain. So far I thought I was mistreated, now my son is also mistreated. That caused a lot of pain to her. Davagnina dava lata iva balaha. Just like a lata, a creeper is burnt in forest fire, the creeper will be affected so much when forest fire is attacking. Where is forest fire and where is a delicate creeper? So she became like that. She was so morose. But still, Krishna inspired her to say the first words. My dear son, never develop any negative feelings towards someone who causes some pain to you. Never contemplate any harm to someone who harmed you, because every person receives pain or pleasure as a reaction to his own deeds. Simple. First statement. To a 5-year-old child, a mature devotee mother is counseling like this. No, your stepmother is like this only, I will tell her. She is not speaking any of those things. She immediately tried to remove any traces of negative feelings that he might hold. No envious feeling or no angry feeling, no hurt feeling of hurt should enter this tender heart of this child. She was concerned about that. Don't contemplate on any harm. Although she harmed you, you should not contemplate on any harm. Understand that this is your mistake because of your previous activities. And after some time, she said, I am one mother. I can give you the affection of one mother. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can give you the affection of millions of mothers. If at all you have any desire, the desire could be as simple as sitting on Father's throne also. Whatever may be your desire, you can always approach the Supreme Lord. He can fulfill your desires. So like that, in a very positive way, she encouraged. She guided Dhruva Maharaj in a positive way. She could respond to the situation in a very positive way. Right? So Dhruva Maharaj was affected. Immediately Krishna inspired Suniti to guide her towards devotional service. And Dhruva Maharaj was determined to do devotional service. And immediately Krishna inspired Narada Muni to come and guide him. How exactly he should do devotional service? He has to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He has to worship deities. Right? So all that Narada Muni told. So whenever a devotee is, going towards the path of devotional service, Krishna will arrange, other people to guide him. Right? He sends his bona fide representatives to guide him. So like that, in Parikshit's case also, he is about to leave his body in 7 days. He immediately sent Sukadeva Goswami. This is the right engagement for him to hear Bhagavatam. No invitation. Nobody invited Narada Muni to guide Dhruva Maharaj. But Narada Muni voluntarily came. Here Sukadeva Goswami also voluntarily came. So, atah prucchami samsiddhim. Yoginam paramam gurum. Purushasyeha yat karyam. Mriyamanasya sarvatha. He asked his questions now. Ataha pruchyami samsiddhim yoginam paramam gurum. You are paramam gurum. How did Suta Goswami glorify Sukadeva Goswami in the beginning? As soon as the sages asked six questions, what did he say? Anyone remembers? Question is, Suta Goswami offered his prayers to Sukadeva Goswami when the sages of Naimisharanya asked him six questions. So how did he glorify him? Now how did Suta Goswami glorify Sukadeva Goswami? By offering obeisances. Very popular verse. It is supposed to be the verse remembered by every speaker of Bhagavatam also. Yasvanu bhava makhila shruti saramekam adhyatma deepamatiditi rajatanta mondham samsarinam karunaya purana guhyam tam vyasa sunum upayami gurum muninam tam vyasa sunum upayami gurum muninam. This Vyasa Sunu Sukadeva Goswami is the guru of all munis. He is the spiritual master of all sages. He is guru of his guru, he is guru of his paramaguru also. When Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Bhagavatam, his guru Vyasadeva was sitting, his paramaguru Naradamuni is sitting, and they were hearing Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami as if they are hearing Bhagavatam for the first time. Wow, I only inspired Vyasadeva to write Bhagavatam, but I never presented it this way. Vyasadeva said, I only wrote Bhagavatam, but I never spoke this way. But Sukadeva Goswami's presentation was very mesmerizing to these people also. Same thing he is also saying. Parikshit Maharaj, you are like spiritual master of all sages. You are spiritual master of great saints and devotees. Yoginam paramam gurum. He is coming in the form of a 16-year-old naked boy. Right? But Parikshit Maharaj identified him as gurum. Paramam gurum. Yoginam paramam gurum. He is not parama guru of some children. Yoginam paramam guru. Tam vyasa sunam upayami gurum munuinam. So that is the glory of Sukadeva Goswami. Purushasyeha yat karyam mriyamanasya sarvatha. Purushasyeha yat karyam. What is the karyam? What is the duty of a person in general while he is living? And mriyamanam, especially when he is about to leave his body, at the time of death, what is he supposed to do before his departure? So these are his questions. So Prabhupada says that spiritual master is not kind of a decoration for a householder. Right? So he's a fashionable materialist, engages so-called spiritual master without any profit. But spiritual master is supposed to enlighten a disciple, and disciple is supposed to inquire about spiritual subject matters from his spiritual master. So Parikshit is continuing. Yat shrotavyam atho japyam.
Yat shrotavyam atho japyam.
Yat kartavyam rabhi prabho.
Yat kartavyam rabhi prabho.
Smartavyam bhajaniyam va.
Smartavyam bhajaniyam va.
Bruhi yadva viparyayam.
Bruhi yadva viparyayam.
Yat shrotavyam atho japyam. What should one hear? What should one chant? Shrotavyam japyam. Yat kartavyam nribhi prabho smartavyam bhajaniyam va. What is the kartavyam? What is the duty of a person? What he should hear? What he should chant? Smartavyam, what he should remember? Bhajaniyam, what he should worship. Right? What should one hear, chant, worship and remember? And what one should not do? So these are the questions he asked. Now please answer these questions. 39th verse. Nunam
Bhagavato Brahman.
Griheshu Grahamedhinam. Nalakshate Hyavasthanam. Api Godohanam Kvachit. He says, O powerful Brahmana, your association is extremely rare. He says,
It is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. How much time it takes to milk a cow? 20 minutes, 30 minutes or whatever. So Parikshit Maharaj stands in front of a household only for that much time, not more than that. And now Parikshit Maharaj is coming to Sukadev Goswami. Sukadev Goswami is coming to Parikshit Maharaj and he is spending time with him for 7 days. Although he cannot stay for more, even a moment more than milking time, he can stay for 7 days in front of Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit is understanding the rarity of this privilege of hearing from Sukadev Goswami. He is not taking the association of the sages for granted. He is not taking the association of Sukadev Goswami for granted. He is not taking the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam for granted. He is not taking the family connection with Pandavas for granted. He is totally imbued with feelings of gratitude towards the sages, towards Pandavas, towards Sukadeva Goswami, towards Krishna, towards everybody. He has no feeling of grudge or injustice done towards him or mistreatment or anything whatsoever because of this curse. He only saw that as blessing upon him. As initially we elaborated, we also compared it with Chitraketu's example. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying like this. And now the concluding verse of the first canto. Suta Goswami is saying, Evam abhashita prishtaha Saragnas lakshnaya gira Pratyabhashata dharmagnyo Bhagavan badarayanihi. So king thus spoke and questioned the sage using sweet words, slakshanaya gira, sweet language. Then great and powerful personality, son of Vyasadeva, who knew the principles of religion, began to reply. And his reply is there in the second canto. Thank you all very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have completed the first canto. Next week, we'll discuss a complete overview of all the 19 chapters of first canto. We began somewhere in June. Now this is February. So we took some 7 to 8 months to complete these 19 chapters. So what we heard the 7-8 months, we'll hear in 2.5 hours in the next session. We'll take a full overview. After that, we can hear second time. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.